Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Felix.
So what are microaggressions and how can we be aware of them?
Well, microaggressions are usually defined as relatively subtle or ambiguous examples of when people have subtly insulted or derided or invalidated the experiences of someone from a disadvantaged group. As you say, it might be especially in the domain of race, but you can also talk about microaggressions in relation to gender or sexual orientation or disability or all sorts of other contexts as well.
What are some of the more common examples that particularly would fly under the radar? You know, we talk a lot about casual racism in this country. Is that an example of one?
I think you're in a really tricky space here in terms of definitions. No one really knows where the definitions begin and end. So, I mean, casual racism could be saying something completely horrible, thrown off the cuff way. So casual racism could be quite blatant, whereas microaggressions by definition are subtle and often deniable by the person who makes them. Often they're even unintentional in the sense that the person didn't even think they were committing some sort of act of prejudice. And in fact, in many cases, it's not clear they necessarily were. I mean, defining what counts as a microaggression is very, very tricky. It's such a slippery concept. But let's say if I ask someone of Asian ethnicity, you know, where they were born, some people would say that that's a microaggression. Or if I say they talk really good English, that could be seen as a microaggression. Mm. The list in the United States, where most of the research has gone on, stretches far and wide. So examples like that, or complimenting an African-American friend that they speak really good English or that they're very articulate, would be called a microaggression. Or even people have said that using the term political correctness is microaggressive, or saying that America is a melting pot, or saying that America is meritocracy, that statements like that also count as microaggressions. And to go even further, there's been a lot of work in counselling and therapy settings where it's been argued that white clinicians who don't have the decorations or artwork that represents the traditions of some of their clients, ethnic traditions, that that's microaggressive, or that failing to maintain good eye contact at all times with minority clients is microaggressive.
Yeah.
So I'm rabbiting on a little bit here, Felix.
I think you make an excellent point in rabbiting on, because the list sounds so exhaustive and there's so many things. Like, I can think for myself as a white guy here in Australia, maybe three or four times that people have asked me where I'm from because I have a bit of an unusual cadence to the way I speak. But, you know, for me, how frustrating those few moments were scaled up to an entire life of being asked those questions over and over again can really recontextualize the same actions and make them mean something different. The same with, I guess, the melting pot comment for the United States. It's like when the melting pot is boiling you but letting someone else simmer, how does that feel?
Yeah, and look, I'm a white guy as well, so I'm not in the best position to say that. I think the idea here is that microaggressions cop a bit of flack as a concept within psychology because they're a little bit loose and slippery. But as you say, even if they're subtle, even if particular examples are well-motivated, even if everyone who says such a thing to you, Felix, doesn't mean it in an insulting way, nevertheless, there's that sort of death by a thousand cuts idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Being exposed to many of these things many times, and maybe even especially because they're deniable, because the person can, when challenged, say, oh, I meant it as a compliment. And they might even mean that. That makes it even harder because you're both coping with the insult and it's not really clear exactly how you respond to it.
So when it comes to being an ally against things like racism and microaggression, is there any particular method that people can take to be aware of their own actions and aware of the others around them? Or is it really just constant vigilance and research into what these problems are and discussions with the people who suffer from them?
I think constant vigilance makes it sound like a huge deal, as if you always have to be on your toes. And I'm not sure you do. I think a bit of practice and just generally interrogating your own thinking and being mindful of how someone else might hear what you say is really enough. And eventually this becomes a bit of a habit. I think the problem is not so much identifying when microaggressive things get said, but more deciding what the right way to respond is. And people have different philosophies on this. Some people think it should be loudly and outrageously challenged. Some think it should just be gently questioned. I'm of the general view, being a little bit conflict averse myself, that generally you don't change people's minds by yelling at them.
Yeah.
Generally you don't change people's minds if you want them to come around by ridiculing them or publicly shaming them. But there are ways in which you can, if you overhear someone say something insensitive, which doesn't rise to the level of being explicitly hateful, showing that you actually don't agree. It could be quite subtle. You know, really? You said that? You think that? Rather than putting the person on the spot in a way that's going to convey that you condemn and despise them. Maybe at least just raising awareness subtly. And also just, I think, being non-defensive when someone challenges you. And we all say wrong things sometimes. Not everything that comes out of our mouth has been completely thought through, comes out the way we mean to. So when someone challenges us, I think rather than sputter over some fierce defense, hear it, listen to it. I mean, be aware that the person making the accusation might actually be wrong in your case, but that you can see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So I think it's just reducing the heat and try to educate one another, and especially ourselves. We should educate ourselves before we educate others about how even subtle things can be harmful.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic point, particularly looking at yourself before and as well as addressing others around you, because you see a lot of discourse about the hypocrisy of some people calling things out, and it's important to make sure that you are addressing yourself so that you can avoid being hypocritical in those situations.
Completely, and I think it's part of a sort of more general pattern, which is sometimes being called the bias blind spot. We're very good at seeing bias in others, but not very good at seeing it in ourselves. And I'm pretty sure if you ask people whether they're more racist than average or less racist than average, almost everyone will say they're less racist than average,
yeah.
Which of course can't be true. Most likely we are doing things, especially white majority members, that really are imperfect, and we've got some work to do. And rather than enjoyment you get out of piling on someone else who said something egregiously bad, maybe look in the mirror a little bit and try to be better yourself.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Nick, thank you so much for joining us here on Drive this afternoon.
Thank you.